This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show from the HananiaAutos.com studios inside EverBank Field. The first Gus Bradley Show in 3 weeks. Missed you, Coach. How are you?
It has been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, you kind of get used to Thursday nights with a chance to sit down and talk some football. So, folks, if you've been waiting, dial them up. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351 as we talk about the Jaguars getting ready to play the Bills, coming off of 10 days from their previous win. And let's start with the big news of today. You've got two players, Coach, in Maurice Jones-Drew and Cecil Shorts, that a lot of people are wondering about, going, uh-oh. You know, leading rusher, leading receiver, both of them slow right now. What can you tell us about your guys?
Well, you know, it might be a wait and see with both of them. You know, we're going to try to get, you know, the plan was try to give them some reps tomorrow and see where they're at. And, you know, it might be a game time decision. You know, we'll have to see how they progress tomorrow and then Saturday and then Sunday. But, you know, we'll see. But we've had an opportunity this week to really get some other guys ready just in case. So either way, I think we'll be ready.
I'm looking at the running back position. The next man up is going to be Todman, and Todman's played well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten a lot of reps, but then after that, you know, Denard Robinson, who for a while there you were talking about he was going to be the number two back, and then that didn't seem to work out. His role obviously would be increased, right?
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, D-Rob and I talked quite a bit, you know, through this whole process, and I think he was at a point where he wanted to get some reps, and Todman wanted to get some reps, and Mojo wanted the reps, and Justin Forsett did, and it was just a process where you got to earn it in practice. And we said, hey, just keep going and just be ready for when your chance, if it does occur. And this week it looks like it may occur. So he's really had a good week. He's still the excitable type guy, but you can sense a little bit more focus this week.
You know, the running game in particular, Coach, averaging 112 yards per game the last 3 weeks. And we talked so much in the first 8 weeks of the season. You know, what's it going to take to get it started? How do you get it rolling? The last couple of weeks it has, with 149 against the Houston Texans, who are good defense. As you look at it, Coach, what are the things that have happened since we last talked with the running game that have given you the chance to have success?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you get over 100 yards rushing, you're generally looking at explosive runs. And I think that's what, you know, has been common to us the last couple of games, where we've had those, you know, the 20-yard gain, the 18-yard gain, and you get a couple of those. And when you get three or four of those, along with the other 2 and 3 yard gains, if you get enough carries, you get over 100 yards. And I think that's what's been different the last four games or five games compared to the first eight.
Well, and how many games is it now that your offensive line has been intact? Was it going all the way back to the, I guess, since you could say the first quarter in St. Louis, right?
Exactly, yeah, that St. Louis game where things changed.
I mean, when you got an offensive line that's got some consistency and they've gotten better, that's got to be one of the big reasons why.
Well, that was the plan, you know, from the start, was to get these guys playing and get them on the same page. Communication, you know, it's so important. And Brad Meester's done a really good job, you know, controlling the offense line, become more vocal, a member of that group. And I think they're really starting to feel a comfort level together.
Have you thought much about Brad Meester coming back next year? And I know you coaches kind of tend to live in the here and now. But has that been talked about, thought about?
You know what? I have not talked to him about it, and on purpose, I think. Kind of shy away from that. But he's been doing so well for us. You know, they asked that question earlier in the week, and I said, you know what, for where he's at in his career, we've challenged everybody, no matter who you are, to be the best that you can be. And, boy, he's really taken advantage of that, and I think he's playing at his best.
Let me flip the tables real quick to the defensive side, because I was working on these numbers today, and this really stood out. Stopping the run and what that's created for you in so many other ways. First 8 weeks, 162 yards a game. We talked about how you got to fix that. 4.8 per carry, which I know as a defensive coach, you know, you go, whoa, how are we going to get this stopped? Last 5 weeks, averaging 70 yards on the ground allowed, 2.9 per attempt.
Yeah, much better. You know, and I think it was a combination of things. I give credit to our defensive staff. They really took a hard look at over the bye week. And not that we're doing many things different. I think that our players have a better feel, and that's where the credit should go. you know, with those guys. I think that they got a better feel for it. I think they're taking care of their responsibility and then some. Maybe we didn't see the first 8 weeks there trying to figure out the defense and how their fits and how it all comes together. But they've really done a nice job with that. And anytime you can make that type of improvement is really impressive.
Well, the guys up front, I mean, Roy Miller has been kind of a warrior. He's been beat up a little bit. He's gotten better. Tyson Alualu's gotten better. I mean, that's really where it starts, doesn't it?
It really does, and I think it's a credit to our guys that, you know, going through what we did the first part of the season to really stick to the plan and just keep improving and trust that it will come together. You know, it's really been a neat process.
Well, Jeff, you've talked so long about you got to stop the run first. You got to stop the run first. You stop the run, which you've done, and you have 10 takeaways, which has created field position for the offense. I mean, it's been a cascade effect when you get that done.
Well, that's a great point. It's a great point. I think our team feels that. And our defense is playing with a lot of confidence right now in terms of the run. I think they feel like, okay, if we just do what we're supposed to do, we got a great opportunity to at least manage it. And, you know, we'll get that chance this week because there's two good backs coming at us.
Well, with these two backs, if you guys can stop the run, then you can get to that lightning package. Have you run the numbers to see how productive that lightning package has been? And for those listeners that don't know, the lightning package is, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Davis, Jason Babin, and Andre Branch, along with Senderic Marks, where it's the three Leos out there as those four down line.
Yeah, you know, rarely do you have opportunities to do that. And, you know, it's generally thought of as more of a third down package. But once again, if you get a lead or you get them to really, you know, heavy passing situations and you can incorporate that front, it's been good for us. So the numbers are panning out for us. We like what the productivity is bringing to us.
All right. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and it's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We've got much more with the head coach of the Jaguars when we return to the HenneyAutos.com studio after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hey, the Christmas season. The tradition.
Big Joe, he's got the controls,
he
man.
He has spun some he's spun some records in his
they're,
day.
They're Let's finding out his way. Personality.
Little Andy Williams for you here. Hope you're enjoying the Christmas season. It's a lot more fun when your football team is winning, and the Jaguars have won 4 of their last 5. By the way, if you want day-to-day information on your favorite football team, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day package. All right, the Houston Texans are in the rearview mirror. The Buffalo Bills roll in here this week. Kind of an interesting schedule for them. Tampa last week, Jacksonville this week. They host Miami next week, so kind of the Florida swing here. The first thing that stands out about this football team is their pass rush coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they have got 44 sacks. First team since they started recording sacks in 1982 to have 4 players with at least 7 sacks. So it comes from a lot of different guys.
Well, a lot of first-round draft picks up front, you know. And, I think it's been a good challenge for us these last couple weeks with the J.J. Watt. And now, you know, Mario Williams and Marcel Darius and guys like that. And Williams, not to forget about him. But it is a good challenge for us. And, you know, I like the way our offensive line is playing. Another challenge is facing us. And, we'll do some creative things to try to slow that down.
I was kind of amazed because, you know, you look at the numbers. Mario Williams got 12 sacks. Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius, the two defensive tackles, they got 7 sacks. And I'm looking at the list, and I'm seeing a guy by the name of Jerry Hughes. And I'm going, where'd they get this guy from?
Colts.
And then, I mean, they traded for him from the Colts. Jerry Hughes, when he was in Indianapolis, was considered a bust. And with the Bills, he's got 8 sacks.
You know what? I can remember when he came out, I was in Tampa Bay. And we looked at him as like that right end, that Leo-type rusher, and phenomenal career at TCU. A little bit undersized, but tremendous speed, and he's done some really good things for him. And I think, you know, sometimes it takes guys some time for them to feel comfortable in their position, and he's showing that comfort.
Darius is a guy who's put up terrific numbers. I mean, he's a big, strong guy in there. And he and Kyle Williams, who I know is a guy you like a lot, Logs, have – each more than 60 tackles and 5 sacks. Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful combination for a couple of tackles, isn't it?
Well, when you start, you know, you want to be solid up in the middle, and they sure are with those two guys. You know, very dominant type players, looking really for one-on-one rushes. You know, that's mm-hmm. where they've, you know, had a lot of opportunities, a lot of success with that. So, yeah, just a very talented front four.
And a lot of people that don't know, their defensive coordinator, Mike Patton, is from that Rex Ryan coaching tree. That package gets very difficult when it's second and long and third and long, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because they get more creative and it gives your offense different looks. And, you know, now some communication becomes even more important. And, you know, when you've got young backs back there like we possibly could have along with the offensive line, it's a challenge. But, you know, we've taken some good looks at it, and I think they just stay true to their rules and perform their techniques, and then we'll see what happens.
You know, you bring something up there, and it might be something that was very subtle, but it didn't get past me. You said when we may have young backs in there, Maurice Jones-Drew is, I've always said this, is one of the most fun running backs to watch when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, because he's such a good blocker. And you're talking about young running backs possibly being there with this package that they'll be facing. If you don't have Maurice, that will be missed, that aspect of his game, won't it?
Yeah, that will be. But, you know, with the, I think we were getting Todman and D-Rob ready for this possibility, you know, when Justin Forsett went down. So they've had some reps at it during the week, maybe not a lot in the games, but now their practice will be put to challenge, you know, if we don't have Mojo. So, you know, I think they're looking forward to the opportunity. And, again, you just have to be creative.
Hey, how about that linebacker they've got in the middle, Kiko Alonso, 130 tackles. I think he's getting a lot of press for the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Four interceptions is the thing that stood out the most to me. I mean, this is a multi-purpose guy, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Very talented. And here's what's impressive. He does set their defense. You know, makes the calls, gets guys lined up. You'll see him getting guys in the right place at the right time. So to see that out of a rookie along with his production is impressive.
You guys liked him coming out of Oregon, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We thought he was, you know, a good college player, and we thought he had a tremendous upside.
Now, did you know that the Bills' defensive coordinator was his college roommate?
Oh, yeah.
He knows.
Yeah,
he knows.
I've seen pictures. Oh, yeah.
You tell us about your guy.
This is Mike Patton. He actually came out. His father, Mike Patton Sr., is one of the legendary coaches in Pennsylvania high school history. I think he's the most winningest coach in Pennsylvania history, Central Bucks West.
That's saying a lot.
I don't know if you remember. Now, years ago, ESPN did a thing almost like Hard Knocks in the NFL. Where they called it the season, I believe, where they followed a high school team throughout the football season. That high school that they followed was the high school that Mike Patton was actually coaching, and it culminated at the end to where he faced his father in the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. But anyway, he was a quarterback coming out of CB West, played for his dad, went to Virginia as a quarterback. He wasn't very good. And they put him at safety, but he was a good friend of mine. I mean, he, you know, guy liked to fish, and we had a lot of fun back then.
Well, I mean, just that's a story in itself. Come out of high school, but you knew he was very talented. And I've never met him personally, but I know he's very well thought of. You know, very creative, really studies the game, puts a lot of work into it, and it shows.
You know, it's his first year away from Rex. When you look at their defense, do you see his own wrinkles?
Well, I think you do. I think you see, you know, I believe that him and Rex really worked hard together on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they put it together. I think they really bounced ideas off each other. So, you know, you see some of the personality that they had in the Jets. But then there's some spin, you know, where he's taken off on his own and maybe did some of the things he wished they could have done, and now they're doing it in Buffalo.
I think it was a good move for him.
Yeah.
I mean, just personally, I mean, that perception, I mean, you dealt with a little bit of that perception in Seattle, because people would say it's not Gus Bradley's defense, it's Pete Carroll's defense.
Right. Yeah, you do. You do face that. You know, and I know that it is hard for a head coach to be in that defensive room all the time and go through everything and really put your thumbprint on it. So I think he had probably a lot of influence on what went on with the Jets, because you know, Rex had quite a few things to do. So you know, I'm sure a lot of that defense was Mike's.
All right, folks, you can listen to the game on Sunday, beginning with the Publix tailgate show for all of you here in Jacksonville, starting at 10 a.m. The Jaguars pregame picks up the network at noon, kickoff at 1, and it is all right here on these Jaguars radio network stations. We're back with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
I'm dreaming
of a white Christmas. Gotta have the DJ. Like fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. There will be no snow this
no,
week.
No, but here in the South, if you're next to a cotton field, you could, in fact, have a white Christmas.
All right.
This is not the type of music I thought would be coming from you, Joe. Yeah, yeah. That plays guitar down in his basement.
A wide repertoire of Christmas music. You've heard nothing yet, Coach. Your football team has had a couple of extra days. How did you use that? Was it all rest? And how valuable is that at this point in the season?
Well, it's similar to a bye week at this time. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes you get a bye week, you try to utilize that the best you can. Right now, it's so important, the health of your team. And I think that that's what we really wanted to take advantage of. Get the players off their feet, get a lot of treatment taking place. A lot of our guys were in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, getting extra treatment, and we needed that. Our injury list, although there's some names on there, the most notable, Mojo, Cecil, but overall our injury report has gone down. And we felt like we really competed and did our best to try to get guys back.
You know, you went full pads on Wednesday.
Well, we just went helmets and shoulder pads.
Okay.
We didn't go pants. They were in their shorts. But I just felt like because of the number of days that we had off, it was important to get back and back to hitting, back to pad level, back to, you know, really sharpening our saw. So many times when you go without pads, you can't have one-on-ones.
Right.
And I felt like our DBs and receivers needed that.
Roy Miller was our guest on our Monday TV show. And it was kind of funny because he comes on the set and stick my hand out, shake his hand, tell him thanks for coming. And he kind of slowly sticks his closed fist out there, and I said, I know what that is. You know, defensive linemen, when you get this far into the season, are nervous about people wanting to shake your hand because you know how most people are. I mean, they want to grip it, you know, and grin.
Especially a big guy like that.
Yeah, and give it, you know, so he's very hesitant. I said,
show you.
I said, it's okay. I said, I've been there, I've done that. And I said, you can shake my hand and I won't squeeze.
Hey, that same thing happened to me today. So whatever you was feeling then, it carried over to today.
Well, you're talking about a guy, too, that has been playing really well as of late. And managing him, Coach, and it's probably a paradigm for your whole team. But when you get to December, you've got to manage guys and their practice time.
That's the biggest transition. You know, you talk about coaching in college and then coming to the NFL. It's such a grueling season for them physically. And I think you really got to stop and take a look at your team and really be able to manage them. And, you know, you want to get such preparation taking place. You want to compete and practice. But the number one thing is their health, and I think you got to be smart about that.
Have you ever wondered or thought about, you know, with a 53-man roster, and I know this is your first year.
Right.
But with a 53-man roster, and then you're only allowed to have, 46 on game day.
Yeah.
To hoping that would expand?
Well, there's been talk about it. You know, I think, you know, to add at least one roster spot or – you know, and it's a challenge. It is a challenge every week to go down and see who's going to be active off of that and pair it up. But, you know, the rules are they are right now. And I'm sure every year it's been brought up what to do. And each year it gets voted down, I think. So, you know, we just have to manage it the best we can.
Are there certain positions where you have to practice during the week where you just can't get ready to play if you don't take the reps?
Well, you know, ideally every position needs the practice. But, you know, we're like Roy, he's been a veteran. And, you know, with his injury, we're just managing it. And I think we just found out the best with him is if he does rest it throughout the week, that he has the ability to play productive football on Sunday. And he's probably one of our toughest guys. I mean, just like you said, Jeff, where he could barely shake your hand, but he can shake enough hands on Sunday. You know, he finds a way to battle through it. So, you know, it's you know, you'd like to practice them all. You'd like to have everybody healthy. But the main thing is to get them on Sunday to where they can perform.
I look forward to watching him play when he's healthy. You know, all offseason he battled a knee injury, and you guys were managing him throughout the offseason. This year he's been battling shoulder and other things. I mean, here's a guy, because we asked him this on the television show, just because it's probably the number one question that every defensive lineman or every big football player gets. So, you know, Joe Schmo comes up to you and says, so what do you pinch? You know, so I figured, you know, for the TV show, we'd ask Roy what he benches for everybody out there. This guy, he bench presses 540 pounds when he's healthy. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. you know what? And just put yourself in his position. You're playing nose guard, and you're facing double teams. Two guys that are 310, 320 pounds coming down and double teaming you. You know, 40 plays a game out of the 60 plays, and you know, week after week, and the strength that you need in order not to get, you know, any movement, and to split a double team and try to make a play in the backfield, and you know, use up some blockers. I mean, it's real noisy in there, huh, Logs? It's not like on the outside.
No, I once like you it get on the outside.
Yeah, most people do, you know, because it's so noisy in there. But, you know, some guys are just made for it, and he just does a great job for us.
How much can you make up in the film room? How much can you make up, you know, in the classroom for the reps that you missed during the week?
Well, it's, you know, that's what we ask him to do. You know, they might not be able to compete on the practice field, but just like my conversation with Jonathan Cyprian today, I say, you're not getting your reps on the field, but you can get the mental reps. You can watch the tape like you normally do. You really have to be focused and just compete in every play that you watch and put yourself in that position to give yourself a chance to be productive on Sunday.
I know on Monday nights you don't typically watch Monday Night Football because, I mean, you guys are busy doing other things. But I saw something that really kind of points to what you just said there. And they were filming Drew Brees during the Monday Night Football warm-ups, and he would, you know, take his drop backs, you know, in pregame warm-up and would throw to a guy. But what he would do after he threw it, he would take the mental reps. If that guy weren't open, where's my next read?
Right.
So he would make the throw and then stand back in the pocket like that guy wasn't open and continue to look at his other spots. I mean, you talk about competing mentally.
Right.
That was a perfect example of seeing Drew Brees do
that. It sure is. He's the master of it. And people try to, you know, emulate him, you know, watch him and how he does it. But that's, you know, that's what our guys do at every position they play. And, you know, it is a challenge. But these guys are so focused during the week and into their preparation. And it's all, you know, for the opportunity to be at their best.
All right, folks, we've got much more to come with head coach Gus Bradley. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network. The Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by DRI Productions. Jaguars getting ready for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, and we're talking with the head coach here. You can join us 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's talk about a rookie quarterback in EJ Manuel. And this is a big kid now, 6'5", 240 pounds. And he, now, did you tell me he's not moving quite as well since he had the knee surgery and missed that month?
Yeah, not quite as well, but he's still mobile.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, though. I mean, he was running around quite a bit earlier, had the knee injury, maybe not running quite like he did. But I tell you what, we still have to have a tackling plan for him. I mean, when you go up and if you're pressuring or if he gets out of the pocket, could be a DB on him. When you've got a guy that size, you better have a plan prior to the game.
The Bills head coach Doug Marrone talked this week after the loss in Tampa about, and similar language to what you guys used, going into the bye, about scaling it back, simplifying things, like, and obviously the result, trying to get the result of a team playing faster. And he talked about that with EJ Manuel, maybe simplifying, scaling back some things. And I kind of interpret that as hand the ball to CJ Spiller and Fred Jackson more.
Well, you know what? I think it's, you know, they're probably trying to slow down the rush a little bit. You know, and you simplify things, you give it to those two backs, and then play passes off of it. You know, quick game type routes. You know, but, you know, it's really been neat for me because we had a chance to interview him in depth during the combine and then when we went around and visited some quarterbacks. And he's an impressive guy, really impressive and really strong competitor. So he's battling through what they do, you know, as rookies. And, you know, he'll figure it out, just hopefully not this week.
Yeah, he certainly had a difficult time figuring out that two-man this past week in Tampa.
Yeah, you know what, and you know, you got to have time and you got to have confidence in your guys and, you know, the timing and things like that. It is a precision league now, and, you know, I think everybody's got to be on the same page, so I can appreciate what Coach Marrone's trying to do.
What philosophy do you have when you approach a young quarterback like that? I mean, just general philosophy.
Well, the first one that comes up is, you know, you find a way to pressure him. You try to find a way if he can make bad decisions. But in this case right here, and that's why the four-man rush is so effective, when you bring pressure, you open yourself up to big plays as far as screens. You know, somebody's got to cover Spiller. and somebody's got to be, you know, on alert for him. So I think you got to pick and choose your times. You got, you know, if you can get a four-man rush on him and create some urgency out of him to make some decisions, that's the ultimate. But we'll have to try to be creative and pick and choose our times.
Let's try and squeeze a call in here before we take our next break. We've got Jonathan down the river there in Green Cove Springs. Jonathan, good evening. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing real good. Gus, I had the chance to meet you after the game, and it was a pleasure meeting you. Your suit jacket was phenomenal. I have to tell you, I love that.
Well, thank you.
Was there a story here that we need to know?
I don't know. I don't think so.
and you really took the time to say hello to all the fans on your way out, which we really appreciate. My question is actually a question for all of Jacksonville. I remember you kind of told the city to come out and represent and come out in full force, and I was just wanting to know I was at the game Thursday night, and the energy was phenomenal, and I was wanting to know what you thought about how the city turned out for you guys.
I thought it was amazing. You know, and just talking to our players, I mean, they felt it on third down situations, you know, and it helps our pass rush so much. As you know, Jeff, you get the crowd going, and all of a sudden they're having a tough time communicating up front, and you just felt it that it was really alive. And I think if I've heard any comments, it's been all about how our crowd and the impact it had. And, you know, it was great, and our players really felt it and appreciate it.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll return after this quick pause on Jaguars Radio. Rolling right along. Joe spinning the hits here this evening. We've got one more show before Christmas and then one right after Christmas. So buckle up. You don't know what's coming next week. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We were in Buffalo last year in December, and C.J. Spiller had a 40-yard touchdown run, and Fred Jackson had 109 yards. I think the Bills ran for 232 that day. I mean, they're capable of putting a running game together that can really pound it, aren't they?
They are. You know, and we're still of that mindset that, you know, we really have to work to stop the run. We really have to be on it. And it doesn't matter who we play. And it just so happens they've got two really good backs. So we have to be really on it. We have to be really a good tackling unit. We really have to swarm to the ball, truly get 11 guys to the ball. And, you know, if he does break through there and you get your shots, you know, hopefully our technique carries over.
E.J. Emanuel's got a couple targets. Stevie Johnson, a veteran guy that created some flash in past years. But he's got two young guys also, Goodwin and Robert Woods, two draft picks. What do you see out of those two young guys?
Well, they've got tremendous speed, you know, with Goodwin and Graham. Those guys can run. And, you know, I think they're of the mindset that they really have to stretch that defense out. They have to look for explosive plays, and those two guys can give it to you. Now with, you know, Stevie Johnson, I think, you know, everybody knows about him. Really talented wide receiver. Robert Woods is coming into his own. I think he's getting more of a comfort level. And but a young receiving core that I think they're really impressed with, and they just are trying to find ways to get explosive plays from them.
The Goodwin kid from Texas has three touchdowns on the year, all of them 40 yards or longer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the big play is there for them in that. He's not very big, but, man, he does find a way to get open.
And I think that's what they're looking at. They've gotten away from it a little bit. But, you know, they're going to take some shots, especially the style of defense we play with the single safety middle, the press corners. We're anticipating seeing some shots.
And with your corners, Dwayne Grotz, watching him over the last couple weeks, and obviously he gave up one big one. But it's been fun watching him. And also Jonathan Cyprian. And I was telling you kind of before we went on the radio show about one play that really stood out in my mind. I'm going to show it film room Friday, Jaguars.com. It was a bootleg against the Texans, and Cyprian had such an awareness of when the ball was snapped, identifying the play, and knowing immediately what to do, where his reaction snuffed out the bootleg almost by itself.
Yeah, you know, you generally don't see that from a rookie. It takes a while for, you know, you see that out of a veteran guy plays 4 or 5 years. But to see Sip do that, you know, it is impressive. And I think that's why we liked him coming out of the draft. He's tough, he's physical, and he's got great awareness. And I think that's, you know, just growing with him every rep he gets.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. But for all the outside receivers that we can point to, the guy he seems to go to is the tight end Scott Chandler, who is, you know, he doesn't wow you with, you know, incredible Vernon Davis-like ability, but boy, he has done a good job for them.
Yeah, you don't want him to catch fire. You know, it seems like if with every catch he gets, he gains more and more confidence. Big target, 6'7", I believe. You know, he's a guy that, you know, they look to. He has definite comfort level in him, and he trusts him. And he can make plays in critical downs. You know, he's like Johnson, the two top guys that he goes to.
What's been the most surprising thing out of all your young players? You know, I talked about Gratz and Cyprian. What's the one thing that you learned about your young players so far this year that maybe you didn't know in the evaluation process?
Well, this is what stands out to me. I think that, you know, you always know going into it when you're going to play a lot of young guys, you always hear about that wall. And I think that you wonder when it's going to hit or if it's going to hit. And what I think was the most impressive to me is I think there was a little bit of that wall that occurred. And then it's like, how long is this going to extend? How long are they going to have to battle through this? But each one of our rookies, I think, may have hit it at a time, but it was short-lived. And the way they bounce back, you look at a guy like A. Sanders. You know, and
he
look
hit
at
it early.
Yeah, he did. But now look at the production. And yeah, he's really battled through it, and he's gained confidence, and he's playing with an all-time high confidence for him, feels very comfortable in the offense. And to see that, I think, from a rookie has been impressive. And, you know, the list goes on with Sip and Grazzi and those guys. It's been kind of cool to see.
All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion, Jaguars fans. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back, we'll dive into C.J. Spiller, the local product from just up the road there in Union County. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and this is Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right. We have mentioned C.J. Spiller. We haven't got too far into him. Just up the road here in Union County, guy that a lot of people around here know, he is explosive. I mean, it's an overused adjective in the NFL, but, I mean, this guy, I'll give you the words from Andre Branch, who was his teammate at Clemson. He said, it seems as if he is at full speed on his first step.
Yeah, he is. You know, I go back and reflect. When I was in Seattle last year, we played Buffalo, and I went back and watched all the game tape, you know, every one of their games and watched them. And, excuse me, and I thought, this is the guy, you know, for screens and big plays and explosive plays. You have to know where he is on the field at all times. You know, critical times they try to go to him. Okay, now you go back, new offensive coordinator, and you watch him again. And a classic one, right? Last week against Tampa Bay, the 50-yard screen play for a touchdown that was called back on a holding call. You know, and you're seeing the same styles, you know, and I think they understand what he's all about. But, wow, impressive. And he can go now.
And does it make you, I don't use that term nervous again, but with a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach in Buffalo, do you sit there and go, what other ways can they get him the ball, and we need to be aware of this even though we may not have seen it because of what you've seen in the past?
Well, you know what? We've told our defense, you know, throughout the season, don't guess, don't overanalyze, just do your job. And you can get caught up in it too much, and I think you just got to rely on your keys. You have to have awareness, you know, in critical times, critical situation, or if there's some sort of an indicator, you have to have that awareness. But, you know, it really comes back to just, you know, relying on your techniques with him.
Have you had any experience in the past with Doug Marrone and this offense that, you know, they've got a young coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett? Is that Hackett's son?
Yeah, he came with the, from Syracuse. I don't know
if it Paul is. Hackett. I was with Nathaniel at Tampa Bay.
Okay, so you know the guy.
Yeah.
Do you got any history with either of those two?
Well, you know,
obviously you were with him at Tampa.
Right.
But
you know, what I can tell you about this is very sharp, very intellectual, can really pick things up really fast. Now, the unique thing about Nathaniel is this. Even though he knows all this football, he has a unique ability to pare it down and allow his guys to play fast. He can adjust to anything. But he was with John Gruden as well, you know, who really had good insight, really good feel for the game, different formations, different things. But I think what you see now is with the younger quarterback, he's not doing all those things. He's really pared it down to give the team the best chance. So, you know, really have high respect for Nathaniel.
Well, what I thought was interesting was is Nathaniel talked about how he wanted his offense to flow like a basketball offense. Said it's different, obviously, because it's stop and start, but to flow with guys moving in the right positions.
Right. You know, it's always a constant work in progress, but they are a no-huddle team, you know, so you'll see him call the plays at the line of scrimmage. It's more of a deliberate no-huddle. It's not a fast-paced no-huddle, but just enough to put strain on the defense to get lined up, get ready to go. But you could tell, I think, they'd eventually like to evolve to where it is fast-paced.
I remember when Howie Long was playing, and Howie was telling me about how he used to keep a notebook while he was playing, and he would have tabs, and it was each tab or chapter was on a coach.
Yeah.
You know, so that if a coach got fired from A and ended up at B, he would figure that, hey, look, the snap count audibles and information at the line of scrimmage would be the same. And so instead of looking at teams, he would look at coaches. Do you, as coaches, do you do the same type of thing?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt you do that. And I know when I was in Tampa, Derek Brooks did the same thing. He still has all his notepads, you know, up in his closet in his house, and he can get at them. And, you know, those are key to those guys that play for a long time. But we do it, you know, just looking at offensive line coaches. You know, offensive line coaches switch from team to team. They get the new job, and you look and you say, well, that's his style. And we know when they hire this offensive line coach what they're looking to do. And I think, you know, that really applies to all, you know, especially coordinators as well.
All right, let's take our final break here. We'll come back and wrap up the Gus Bradley Show on a Thursday evening before the Jaguars host the Buffalo Bills here at Everbank Field. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show. Don't forget, 1 o'clock kickoff at home, 68, 69 degrees, partly sunny. Should be a beautiful afternoon. You know, you're from North Dakota. When you saw the highlights of that Eagles-Lions game, were you a little bit jealous? That did look like fun. Come on, Loggy.
Oh, when we had a day like that growing up, it was time for pickup football.
Oh, yeah. You went down to the park. And
we didn't call it football. I won't use the term we use because it's probably not politically correct now.
I know exactly what you're saying. We all do. And half the people listen and go, come on, Loggy, say it. We know exactly what
nope,
it is.
Not going to say it.
But beautiful weather here on Sunday afternoon for the 1 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it really – I mean, how about today? You go out there and you're practicing and, you know, a beautiful day like this. So, yeah, you grow to appreciate it.
Now, the Bills have to appreciate it. I mean, last week they had that incredible storm system up in the Northeast. They're in Tampa. This week it's going to be cold again. Now they're in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Next week the Dolphins might not like to be up there quite so much. Obviously, those special teams is a huge part, especially when you got a guy like Leotis McKelvin who is back.
Yeah, you know, really good punt returner. I remember when we were looking back at the free agents and things like that. You know, that was one thing that stood out, and he's doing a good job for him this year. You know, it's been a great challenge for us because the last couple of weeks now, 4 or 5 weeks, we really faced some good special teams units. And whenever you face a team that is a 3-4 team on defense, they're generally pretty good on special teams. And that's the combination you have with Buffalo.
Is that because they have the extra linebackers?
A lot of linebackers.
Yeah, a lot of linebackers, a lot of length, you know, on the field, and that always presents a challenge.
All right, just kind of an off-the-wall question here. How's Luke Jokel doing?
You know what? Good. He's doing really good. He's in a boot right now. He was on the scooter for a month. Now he's in a boot. He's walking around. He's in our facility, and he's doing a good job. He's getting a little more color. He looked a little pale there for a couple weeks, but, you know, he's making really good progress, and we stay in contact to, you know, try to see him every day.
Has Milo gotten a hold of him into the weight room
yet?
Oh,
yeah. He's finding a way to get him to keep growing and keep getting stronger through this whole thing.
He's kind of forgotten, you know. I mean, with all, you know, the games and, the, you know, seasons kind of roll on and you kind of forget about people. But, I mean, he's going to be an important part of your future.
No, he sure is. And, you know, you just love being around him. And it's great to have him in our facility and to see him on a daily basis.
Spent the evening with him at the Tony Vaselli Foundation shop with the jock. And he was terrific with the kids.
Yeah.
And smiling and just ready to get going.
Yeah,
so
he is.
That's a good sign for next year.
That's right.
All right, Coach, thanks so much. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
For those of you in Jacksonville, stay tuned. Here we go with Jaguars Thursday. For the rest of you, we'll talk to you on Sunday morning. Have a great evening and rest of your week, folks.